I should have started this a year before now because I could have been a year farther ahead. Now I'm a year in, and someone else is going to look at mine and say, why didn't I start sooner? So I'm not saying you have to do it, but if you've been debating it, figure it out and start because you just have to get going.
Welcome to another episode of Daring Dreams, Heart and Strategy in Small Business Marketing. I'm your host, Haley Bowen, and today we're talking to Joel Oliver about resilience, trust, niching down, and podcasting. Joel is the founder of East Coast Studio, a podcast production company dedicated to helping health-focused entrepreneurs harness the power of podcasting without the overwhelm. After years as a digital nomad, Joel refined his focus on health and wellness, aligning with his passion. And today, he remains at the helm of East Coast Studios while also hosting his own podcast, Profits Through Podcasting. So welcome, Joel.
Hi, Haley. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me. I was just telling Joel that I'm nervous because he's like a podcasting pro. And if you have been listening to my podcast, you'll know that I'm kind of not a podcasting pro, but hopefully very interesting to keep you guys listening. So, Joel, why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown on your company before we get started, just so people understand what you do and how you help.
Sure. So it's East Coast Studio is basically a full service podcast production company. So when you do a podcast, there's a whole bunch of things that you have to take care of. Usually the host is doing the recording, obviously, like you, but there's other things like editing, writing notes, making social media clips, uploading, all these things. And there are different ways to do it. It can be more of a DIY thing. Other people, like the clients that we help, they're trying to delegate and they want a trusted team to take care of it. So they want to focus on doing the recordings and nothing else, essentially. They have other things to focus on. So we take all of that workload off their plate. Essentially, they do the recordings, they send us the files, we do everything else. All those things I just mentioned, that's what our company does and does it quite well. And we focus on the health and wellness niche.
I love that. So when you say you're focusing on the health and wellness niche, what kind of podcasts are you representing?
Well, anything to do with health and wellness, even remotely, is fair game. So we've got online fitness coaches, we've got hormone coaches, they're just virtually anything. We do have plenty of clients from before we did that rebrand that are not even in that niche, but moving down that path has allowed us to develop some synergies for people. So, you know, we're much better connected amongst that little space. Well, not little, I shouldn't say little, but that space. So then I can much more easily introduce people, and things that I'm learning, I'm able to share with others that we work with. So there's a lot of benefits in that way. But yeah, that's essentially it. Anyone that's in that space, and at a certain level as well, because as I alluded to, not everyone is, especially just starting out, at the level where they can go and pay a company to do all that type of work, or maybe they don't even need all of it. But once you reach a certain level and you're trying to delegate, it can become a challenge to try to find proper help. So we aim to do that one thing really well for those people.
I love it. Yeah, I do not do my own editing either. It's not my thing. Okay, so what kind of companies or people do you think should be having a podcast nowadays?
That's a great question, because it can work for anybody, but I try to be realistic when I answer this question, because not everybody needs one. It may not be the right fit for everybody, so it all depends, but I certainly have seen the benefits of podcasting, as the people that we work with are doing quite well for themselves. So it could be anybody. One of the reasons I can say for myself why we started one, which was more recently than you'd think, is the ability to repurpose content. So just the way I like to work, I like to focus on making a single episode, whether it's a solo or an interview. I do that and then I'm done. I don't really like sitting down and scripting individual Instagram reels or writing blog posts. Not at all my thing, but I see the value in having this different type of content. So for me, being able to take a podcast episode and repurpose it into all those things, and not even me directly, but our team, I love that. Because then I can do what I would like and get all this other content from it. So that's one way to look at, like, what kind of person are you, or, you know, what kind of content do you actually want to generate? So that's a good thing to consider. But there are so many other potential benefits through podcasting, like connections, people that you can meet. You know, you'll have these interviews, you'll make great connections, friends, you'll learn things. So yeah, it's not even necessarily the specific, let's say, type of person that may want to have a podcast, but it's like a consideration of all the potential benefits and your business goals. If you have a business, what is it in alignment? You know, does it make sense to have a podcast? What are you thinking? Maybe you should just go run some Facebook ads, because there's a podcasting is a demand. It takes time to grow it and get an audience built up. It doesn't happen in a couple of months. We're talking, say, years to really get results. So if you feel that you can't commit to that, you don't have the money or the time to create it, well, then I'm going down the path of, well, maybe it's not for you, right? So that's a long-winded way of saying there's certainly no one-size-fits-all to say who should or should not have one, but there are multiple considerations you would want to think about.
And what would you say are the biggest misconceptions entrepreneurs have about launching a podcast?
Misconceptions, well, that it's easy. I mean, it can be quite enjoyable, but yeah, I don't always know what is happening, because if you've seen the stats of people who start versus actually continue podcasts, it's absurd. It's like 93% don't make it 2 years in.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Like starting a business, you know, lots of people start a business and it may fail, or they just don't keep up with it, or they get bored with it, or what. There could be so many different reasons, and it applies to podcasting just like anything else. Maybe they run out of people to talk to, or the biggest thing that I think is the valley of despair, they call it, where you just don't see any results right away. Now, if you just stuck with it, like this is where that 93% number comes in. If you just stayed with it long enough, you would see results. But in those early days, and it just feels slow, it's like nothing is happening here. I'm just going to give up. That's why, because you're not seeing results, just like starting to go to the gym. You know, you don't see results right away. But once you start to see some results, or you get an email from someone who heard you, or you get a couple of people wanting to be on your show and you start realizing people are listening, then now you're feeling good. But a lot of people won't make it that far because they don't get past that initial hurdle of just feeling like nothing is happening.
I think that's the same in just general business too, Joel. Like people think they'll build a business and it'll be a huge success immediately. And I think that's probably why there's so much quitting with, like, in a business too. I think it's, you know, 90% don't make it past 5 years or 2 years or, yeah. So you're kind of doing both. So tell me, I will get back to podcast questions, because I think it's going to be very interesting, but I want to talk about your journey as an entrepreneur too. So tell me kind of from, like, why did you start this? What was your reason for jumping into podcasts? Was that your first thing that you did? Like, tell us the story.
I think I always had a bit of an entrepreneurial bug, but I didn't really realize it as an adult until I started making a bit of money online doing voiceover work. And I got real money into my bank account from people all in different parts of the world were paying me just to talk. You know, I'm underselling that, but that's essentially what it was. And I thought, that's crazy. How does that happen? You know? And as I got busier with that, it was good. It was a good chunk of money, but it wasn't a full-time income or anything. But I thought, how could I do more of this? What is this all about? And I had an audio engineering background. This is probably 2014. And I just started to look for some opportunities. Like, well, there's got to be a way to make more money here. Plus, I started traveling a little as I had more of this income. And I wanted to be free to travel. If you're doing voiceover, you need a proper studio. And you know, you get in a noisy Airbnb, you can't do it. So that was a big issue. So naturally, podcasting came up. A lot of people were getting into it. They were learning and they were looking for answers. And me being there, I was the guy they were asking questions to. I was learning as I went, but essentially that's where it all came from. I was able to then phase out the voiceover, was full-time doing podcasts, got to the point where I needed to start hiring help and expanding our services. But that's really where it all came from. I just got interested in making money online and just freedom. The fact that I could do that and I didn't need to have a job, and You know, I work hard. I still, to this day, I work every day of the week. I work a lot on whether it's the business or other things, but I would take that over having a boss any day. I'd way rather, I could go to the gym when I want, 2 p.m. when it's not busy, and I'll come home and work later. But just that kind of freedom is so important to me. So that's why I got into the entrepreneurship and why I'm still doing it.
Okay. So what would you say is the biggest hurdle? Because we just talked about, you know, how people quit their podcast, people quit doing their businesses. What was the biggest hurdle that you had that you, I know everybody has had a hurdle that you're like, okay, kind of done now, that you were able to push through?
Well, for me, there was no choice. Like, I was so determined. There was no other option. There's no being done. That's like, yeah, I can't even fathom saying that because there's no being done. What's the alternative? There was none.
Getting a job with a boss.
Yeah, that's not happening anymore. So there were plenty of hurdles in terms of building a business and learning, but it wasn't things that I couldn't overcome. It was just the next challenge. And that's really how the business was built. And I assume a lot of entrepreneurs they have similar experiences where it's just, okay, this is a problem. How do we fix it? You fix that and then you get to the next problem and you're equipped to deal with bigger and bigger problems. And to this day, I'm always dealing with problems. That's a business owner, or at least that's the way I understand it.
Professional problem solver.
Exactly. And so that was it. Yeah. It's just hard to say anything specific. Obviously delegating was a thing, figuring out how to manage tasks and deal with different problems that popped up. But yeah, there's just all sorts of problems.
So you had a heart surgery a few years ago.
Yeah, 2018.
I'm happy that you're here. As part of that, though, you did have to start delegating in order for your company to continue and thrive, right? So tell me about what that experience was like for you, being able to keep a business going when you were going through health challenges.
Mm-hmm. So fortunately, my brother has been working with me for quite a while too. And I know people have different opinions on working with family, but him and I always got along very well. We had similar mindsets. So I was actually grateful that I had someone I could trust and that he was able to, you know, enjoy some freedom as well working like this. But yeah, at 28 years old, you're not really having this consideration in the business that's you. Without knowing, I built it to revolve around me. Like, I was the center of the business. So delegating never really entered my mind. We had a team, but I was the center of it. There was no me taking a day off. So when this whole surgery thing came about, we were planning and had to look at, okay, what happens when I can't do any work right now? And, you know, heaven forbid something bad happened and I just never made it out. I would like a business to have continued on for my brother. We built this big business and what, it would just disappear without me? Anyway, that was only a small chance, but we did have to address how are we going to make this work. To be completely honest, I think within 24 hours of waking up, I was on my laptop in my hospital bed, mostly watching Seinfeld, but also emails and, you know, answering a few questions. But we had the team there to do the heavy lifting. And I didn't really need to be on there. That was just me being delusional, I guess. But yeah, that was the big moment where we said, okay, we've got to not have this revolve around you anymore. So you better figure out how to do it.
And did it revolve around you publicly and like behind the scenes, or was it just a behind the scenes?
We didn't have much of a public image. We had the company, the website, some online marketplaces where, yes, I was there to some extent. My name was on the emails, but I'm more of the face of our brand now than I ever have been. So it was more just behind the scenes because I was, you know, like, I guess this will apply to a lot of types of work, but I took the work very seriously, the quality very seriously. And I didn't at that point really have the skill set to systematize it and get that same duplicatable result across a team. I felt like I needed to be involved and I had to do it. So like everything kind of funneled through me on the way out of the company, all the deliverables, to some extent, I had to finalize it all. And that's a bad bottleneck.
It is. But how do you, like, I know you sort of had to just get out of the way because of the healthcare. But have you been able to continue that? Or because I know as a business owner for me, I'm also that bottleneck. Like, I want to see everything. And it's time consuming, and it is a bottleneck. So were you able to sustain that?
Yes. I still like to oversee things. I'm still involved, but not in that way. Like, I can relax. I've got some trusted people. I was able to develop some systems and ways, you know, to make that happen. Listen, nothing's ever going to be perfect in my mind, and I could be wrong on this. I'm always open to being wrong. I'm always open to learning. But even still, like, you might let off a bit and get a scare, like, uh-oh, a mistake happened, and it's because I didn't do that, you know? But things are going to happen, but you learn from those experiences as well and use them to develop the processes further. And even when I am involved, every now and then something goes wrong, and then I have to evaluate, well, how come that went wrong? Like, who wasn't following the procedure here? So, yeah, we still have been able to do that for the most part. And I've learned more along the way as well that it's okay to work. I mean, that's my personal choice. I love working a lot, but I've shifted around the things that I do. So some of the things that I felt I really had to do before, we've got a team. I trust them with that. And now I can work on some of the actual more important things, like, you know, like hosting the podcast and that sort of thing where I would be arguably needed. I don't have to do this other stuff. I have a much clearer picture of what I enjoy and don't enjoy and how to delegate that.
That's awesome. So did you create like a process that everybody has to follow, or are you just like, here's the end goal, go ahead?
Mostly a process. There is an end goal, but without getting into too much detail, we need to do things a certain way behind the scenes here, because let's say we send something out and it needs a minor change. It may not be our fault, but someone comes back, they need something edited out. If I just let someone else on the team do whatever they wanted, I have no way to now consistently replicate that and deliver the updated version, because they've done whatever they wanted without software that I have, that sort of thing. And then week to week, when you're always producing episodes, they can't be different volume levels every week, or sound different, or the writing is different. So yeah, they need to follow specific things, and there's a certain way we have of doing it so that we maintain that consistency. That is very, very important.
Did you keep the same team after your heart surgery, or did you have to hire additional people?
It's evolved. It's grown since then. So we had a much smaller team back then. My brother, of course, was still involved, but I don't even know if anyone who was with us back then is still with us now. It was small back then, so it was a couple of extra guys. They eventually moved on years later, but yeah, it's probably a mostly different team. That was a long time ago. That was 6 years ago. Although we've got some people that have been with us for at least four, probably 5 years. But yeah, a little different. And we've just evolved in terms of how we do things and what we offer. It's just a big difference.
And that leads me into my question that everybody wants to know. How do you pick a good team member? So I work with clients who are kind of like really small, but they're on the cusp of being big. And so they have to grow their team. And it's one of the hardest things to find good people. What would you give as kind of advice on how do you find that right fit?
I would love to ask you that question.
I know this is not an HR podcast, but it is important, because you can't grow your business sometimes if it's just you.
Listen, it's a great question, and I don't necessarily have a perfect answer. I can give some insight into what our experiences have been, because yeah, the team that we do have doing what they do, they're great. So that typically starts with some kind of job post somewhere with a list of expectations. Here's what I need. A bit of chat once I screen them beyond that to see, like, did you actually read it? Do you fully understand what the requirements are? Okay, good. Then for this case, because it's like technical work, I'll actually get them to do a test job. So I'll pay them a bit of money, they'll do a test, and I'll get to hear their work and see if they're actually capable of what they say they are. And not just that, but I'm also evaluating things too. Like, if I give you this, we get to that point, I give you a little test job. Did you get it back to me that day, or did it take 2 days? Like, how eager are you to work? It's these little things I find more telling than anything else. Any kind of job interview question, like, how responsive are you? That sort of thing. So that's something I've noticed. And then if that goes well, you know, we try to make, even before I fully bring them on, I'll give them some more work just to try to be sure that before we take that step, They're still contractors, so it's not like we're signing a contract for employment, but I just don't want to go down this path and waste my time or that person's, bringing them on board, and then in 2 days I find out, you know, you couldn't do it, or they just couldn't meet a deadline, whatever the case. So I'm just trying to screen. That's one of the biggest pieces of advice I would have, is pick up on those little things and try your best to screen. But it doesn't always work out that great. And I've had more of a challenge with people, more of, say, a VA or admin role, where it could just be a variety of reasons it doesn't work out. They took on more work than they thought they could do. It's a juggle when you're trying to have a part-timer come on and they're trying to make income or go to school, and then they're too busy for you. And so, yeah, that's, I can't say that I have all the answers to those things. We've had mixed experiences. We've had some great people, and I've had some that haven't been that great. But really, that screening and just going with your gut instinct. There was, I'll tell you another story too, one who, she didn't show up for our very first day. Everything was great, and we had this first day where we had a call scheduled. She didn't show up. And I thought, okay, that's odd. And I waited specifically to see, will she message me? Does she realize that she was late? What's going on? Never heard from her. So I sent a message and said something, you know, where were you? And she said, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, I forgot. You forgot to show up for your first day. And I was gonna let it slide and give her another chance, but there was something in the communication, again, just seemed a bit off to me. So I said, listen, you know what, thanks, but we're not, I will be really stupid at this point. I didn't say this to her, I'm saying it to you. I'd be really dumb to proceed with this. You know, I wish that it had worked out, but this is not going to be good. Anyways, this was on a website. She left me a terrible big review about how I was bad at communicating. And like, you didn't show up for your first day. So all that to say, I think I dodged a bullet on that one. So go with your gut. That's all I can say. Don't feel like I invested all this time, I might as well continue. No, you're better off just waiting and finding the right fit.
Yeah, you're right. And I heard I get my expressions wrong all the time, but hire slow, fire fast, I think is what I heard.
Exactly. Yeah. And do those tests, have them do the tasks, depending on the nature of your business. I love doing that, letting me see what are the results of what they actually do and see if they ask questions rather than just doing it wrong. All these sorts of things. I love that ability to just try out and see how their work is.
One of the things I find interesting is that you niched down. So you had your company for a while and then you decided to focus on the health and wellness sector. And I talk a lot about that and how, you know, you want to be the big fish in the small pond, not the small fish in the ocean. So why did you niche down? What was the, I know it's scary to do that. And so what was kind of the thought process behind that strategic decision?
We were pretty fortunate from the start of our business that we just grew and grew and grew, just however that worked out. And that's a great problem to have. Especially we hit COVID, as bad as that was. A lot of people started podcasts during COVID. So while that was bad for a lot of other businesses, it was actually good for us. And I never had this big dream of having a giant company. Like I said, I wasn't even a business guy, my background, but it just kept growing. And then by the time it plateaued, I thought, well, you know what? We've come this far. We should probably, I'm not ready for it to stop yet. You know, I want to make more revenue. I just want to do more. So okay, the growth is not happening anymore. What do we do? So there was maybe a year or two of that kind of fumbling around and trying different things. And it came to where we were running ads, like Facebook ads or whatever, and nothing was really coming of it. Like people were coming to our website, but nothing happened. And we would say, how come they're coming to our website looking for a podcast editor and they're not calling us? Like, what's the problem? It doesn't make any sense. And just by chance, and you know, to tie this into your question about how do you find good people to work with, I just happened to meet someone at a networking event who was a business consultant. And only because I met him, I started to work with him because I just knew him. We had that relationship. I may not have searched someone out online. I don't know if I would have known who to search for. But we started working and I told him about this problem of the ads not working. And he asked me, well, who is your ideal client? And I said, I don't know, people with a podcast. He said, no, that's not it. He's like, you're marketing. You don't even know who you're marketing to. This is a bad problem. Stop running those ads. We need to like start from the ground up here and figure all this out. And you know, he would give me these assignments like, go home, look at all your clients, find your best ones. Why are they the best? Talk to them, email them, call them, ask them what their challenges are, what are their goals. And I'm reluctantly doing it, but I'm thinking like, will you just tell me the secret to get this ad to work so I can get some. But I obviously eventually came around and realized, oh, that he was completely right about that. And that was everything. We need to speak to a certain person. We would want to work with the people who are our best clients. I would love to have a, you know, more clients who are just like those people. So he helped us with that part. He helped us productize our service. Then we moved into a marketing company to help develop our message and how to actually say these things and talk to these people. And I guess I left out the detail that we determined the health and wellness niche was a great fit for us because most of our best clients were in that niche. Personally, I'm kind of into that stuff. And I started hearing more and more on the podcast we were helping people produce this life-changing advice that they were giving. And I hear some episodes where they actually have listeners give feedback and hearing how their lives have been changed. And I thought, you know what, this is actually pretty neat because it's not anymore I'm just doing podcast editing for work. Like I'm actually part of helping these entrepreneurs with their businesses, but they're impacting the world in a big way. So I really got excited about that. And yeah, that was just that was the path that we went down to get into the health and wellness niche specifically. And that was why.
So it sounds like you, you know, figured out your ideal client, created your brand strategy and your messaging. Once you did that, did the results come like immediately? Was it a long churn? Or like, I know some people, as soon as they change their messaging, it just goes like wildfire. And some people, it's a slow churn. What was it like for you?
It was slow because the process was slow. Like we were implementing little bits at a time. We started the podcast not with that branding, although we should have, and we were working with the company. And it just took a long time for all this to come together, I felt like. So even once we flicked the switch, like that wasn't immediate. And I think it just takes time, just based on what I've seen, because let's say the connections that I'm going to develop once I start interviewing solely health and wellness people on the podcast, that doesn't happen overnight because you do say one episode a week and you're growing connections on LinkedIn and things that you learn and apply. It's just nothing happens overnight. So I wouldn't have seen how in our case that we would have seen results overnight. It's just a process.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. It depends though. I've had a couple clients in the health space. They had a big audience on social media, but people just didn't know really what they were doing, what they were selling, why they were different or anything. And so as soon as they started talking about that, it like flipped a switch in their business because they were already primed, right? But then I've had other clients who it was slower because they didn't already have that built-in audience who were just waiting to understand, right?
And I can say we didn't really have much of an audience. We weren't doing a whole lot of marketing until we went down this path and we started the podcast. We really made an effort for our social media, that sort of thing. Where I can say the most overnight type of results happened was thanks to the niche, connecting with the right people within that, because they then saw, oh, this is a health and wellness podcast guy. Well, I'm a health and wellness marketing person or whatever. And then that was a lot quicker. And my ability to connect people with each other in that circle was a lot quicker as well, because we just all knew, oh, that's that person. If you want health and wellness, podcast monetization or whatever, this is the person. And that really accelerated those types of connections. So I was really happy about that.
And I know most people would much rather work with an expert in their niche than a general person, right?
Absolutely.
So it definitely your conversion would be higher once they find you.
Yeah.
So speaking of podcasts, what do you see as like the future of podcasting? Do you think it's going to keep growing, stay the same? Like what's your view on how it's going to roll out in the next few years?
Also a great question. I don't claim to have all the answers to. AI, obviously we can't have this conversation without talking about AI. It's all happening so fast. Who even knows what that's going to do? I personally feel that human connection is always going to be required, or there's always going to be a value for it. I don't personally have any interest in rehashed AI fake content. I don't want to hear it. I don't care. Maybe there'll be a day where I won't even know what I'm listening to and I'll like it. But to me, it's all about people and it's going to stay that way. So I'm not too worried about AI kind of coming in and taking over. We'll just have to see with regards to what actually happens with podcasting. I think there's always going to be a demand for knowledge and entertainment and human connection. So it's getting, I guess, easier to create content and podcasts, but that also means there's more bad stuff to sift through. So I think there's going to be more of a demand for quality stuff, content with that human connection. And we'll have to see. I don't know beyond that. Like,
yeah, I think you're right. It is the human connection, right? Like, that's the thing that AI can't give. And the podcasting being such, like, it's not like a 30-second clip. I know that we use 30-second clips to promote, but it actually allows people to get to know you as a podcast host or as a guest, right? And I think that in this world of AI where we can't trust anybody, we don't know what's real, we don't know what's not real. I mean, sometimes we know what's not real, but I think that having these long form pieces of content that are obviously two people connecting or three people connecting or solo, I think it is actually going to be a huge competitive advantage.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're seeing a shift the other way. And I'm so curious about that. Like, there's going to be a continuing demand to make content with a better hook, more value in a shorter amount of time. You cannot bore people. They are not tolerant of that. So there's going to be that pressure. But the pendulum, say, swinging the other way, is that possible? Well, I've seen recently, like, Instagram has done some things where they now allow longer reels. And TikTok, I saw the other day, like, they're allowing longer uploads or something like that. And I thought, that's very interesting, because all we hear about is the shorter attention span and it's going to get shorter and shorter and how short can it go? But I think we will see people kind of get tired of that and perhaps be looking for something more solid as the future, as we go into the future. So that would be my insight. I can't predict anything, but I like to think that maybe we can move away from this short attention span world and there will be an increased value of quality content.
I really hope that that is the case too. I think that substance has been lost in recent years, and it's all about the hook, and you really don't know who to trust, who not to trust. And I've mentioned this on other podcast episodes too, the behind the scenes stuff of, you know, you walk in your dog and like, it doesn't help you make a buying decision. It doesn't build trust. But podcasts to me, and these longer form content, and even real clips of the podcast where you're actually have some substance, to me is hopefully going to be the future.
Absolutely. And just the whole notion of being yourself and letting people kind of opt in or out, and they just see who you are. I really like that person, or they're not for me, but you have to be you to allow that to happen. And I think, you know, we're empowered to do that online these days. It was kind of a challenge for me for a long time, but yeah, I think that's like the idea that would go away and just be replaced by some AI generated thing. I just don't see it. I think people will be able to see right through it, despite its ability to make content that's believable. Just when there's no effort put into something and there's no emotional connection, I think we can sense that. It's just, you know, you're just indifferent about the content, and so I don't think that that's going to get people anywhere just using all this AI stuff. And but we'll see.
I mean, it will help us to do things quicker so that we can actually have time to build connections, is my hope.
Absolutely. That's a great use for it. I'm not saying there's no use for it at all, but I've even come across videos on YouTube, people that I like to watch, you know, and it'll just, now they just are taking their voice, not the person, but someone else is taking their voice, generating a script in ChatGPT or whatever, and then it's just spitting out a video that's like a fake generated voice. And I just, like, I'm not watching this. This is not what I came here for. I can hear it. I don't want to watch that. So that's the kind of thing I mean. I hope there's no future for that type of content. But of course, we're going to use it to help make our lives easier, sure.
So what would you give for marketing advice to people who want to promote their podcast? Like, how do you get, I know it takes time, but how do you get your podcast seen by your target audience?
It definitely takes time, yes, and consistency. I usually talk about this in four, what I call growth pathways. So there are four different things you can think about when you're trying to actually grow your show. The first one has to do with optimization. So this is more passive type stuff, but like organic discovery. So having adequate show notes with some keywords, making sure your titles and descriptions are good and intriguing, having the show notes on a website domain that you own, those sort of things. So they don't take a whole lot of effort. They just need to be aware. You need to be aware of them. Connect is the next one, where we're thinking about people here. It's all about people when you look at podcasting. You're not trying to talk to no one. You're trying to build an audience and connect with people and have guests if that's the type of podcast that you do. So cross-promoting, be a guest on other shows, have guests on yours, tap into each other's audiences. Engage with your community. So be on social media. Don't be one of these people that like someone actually comes and comments on your stuff and you don't even reply.
It's social, people.
Yeah, exactly. So be on there, respond, post interactive content, that sort of thing. Be out there. Like you said, post you walking your dog, whatever it is that works for you. Do that. Repurposing, which we touched on a bit, you can get a bigger ROI from your podcast, and you're going to be doing this marketing that we're talking about. Blogs, social media clips. You can turn podcast episodes into books, live streams. There's just so many ways you can repurpose, and you need to do that to market. Plus, you're learning from the interviews, which is great. And this is all things that you can delegate, which is nice. And then finally, this is probably a big one that can have a lot of effect quickly, is promote. So this is like actively doing promotion on the show. This could be split into paid or unpaid. So paid, there are apps like podcast apps where you can actually buy a little ad and people will see it on the screen and they can click it. That's very direct and works pretty well. And it's easy. It's easy to understand. You can sponsor email lists. You could buy Google ads, that sort of thing. Then we have unpaid, which is, you know, Facebook groups, but you've really got to watch what you're doing with that stuff these days. People don't take too kindly to this kind of self-promotion, but giving value, being active and just getting to know people on these sites, going to in-person events, that sort of thing. But yeah, that's a breakdown quickly of how I would go about promoting your podcast. That's everything covered there and what's possible.
You kind of mentioned earlier about monetization of a podcast in terms of what you help people do. So what does that mean?
There are a whole bunch of ways that you could monetize, from sponsorships to donations. But what the clients that I work with specifically, we are talking about having a business and using your podcast as a way to generate leads and sales for that business. So you really want to understand your goals when you think about something like that, because oftentimes people with a great business will come and say, I want to get sponsors. And I'll say, who do you want? Oh, I don't know. Just like one of these. And there's some of the podcast hosts allow sponsors to just come in and pay, say, $5 for a spot on your podcast or whatever. I say, you're going to ruin your show for $5. Like, why are you doing that? So why are you doing that? And you have this great business. Let's focus on promoting this business. You don't need a sponsor. You are a sponsor. You have this already. So that's the one that we look at the most, is when you have a business and you're just trying to, essentially your podcast is part of your marketing funnel and you're using it to bring people into your ecosystem, just like you would with a lead magnet or anything else.
I love that. Okay. So how can people work with you? What if somebody wants to have Joel and his team help them? How do they do that?
First step would be a conversation. There's nothing to just buy on our website. We obviously want to make sure everyone's a good fit and happy. So we always will start with just a call just to see what's up. And I'm happy to give advice on those as well. It doesn't need to be a whole sales thing. We can just chat. But the website, eastcoaststudio.com, is the place to start. You can send me a message on social media. Links are there, or book a call. I'm be happy to chat.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Joel. Do you have any parting words of wisdom for aspiring podcasters?
If you're aspiring, make the decision whether or not you want to do it, and then just start, because you know, one of the things I considered when we started ours about a year ago was I should have started this a year before now, because I could have been a year farther ahead. Now I'm a year in, and someone else is going to look at mine and say, why didn't I start sooner? So I'm not saying you have to do it, but if you've been debating it, figure it out and start, because you just have to get going. There's going to be a lot of learning and improvement along the way. Don't worry about making it too perfect. Just get it going.
Perfection is like the killer of marketing and businesses, really. It just stalls people too much. And it's actually not as required as it used to be, because everything can be edited now, right? So when I started out in the marketing field, it was like it had to be perfect. If you're paying, you know, $1 million to do a TV commercial, or, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to do a billboard. But that, you want it kind of perfect. But now, like social media, podcasts, you can always fix it. So
yeah, and there's more of a tolerance for imperfection these days anyway. And it depends on where you're at. If you say you have 50,000 Instagram followers and you want to start a podcast, okay, you better talk to a professional and make sure that it's of a decent quality. You don't want to embarrass yourself. But if you're just starting a business and you have nothing, don't worry about it being perfect, because I guarantee you, no matter how hard you try, you're going to look back in a year at your early content and you're going to laugh at how bad it was, even though you tried your hardest. It's just the way it is. So just get going.
I can't even watch them. And mine wasn't even a year ago. And I'm like, I'm not even going to look. Just onward and upward.
The last show matters.
Exactly. Okay, well, thank you so much, Joel. I really appreciate you being here. And thank you for listening to the Daring Dreams podcast.